Hey guys, Jacob Wynn here. Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NFL every week, give you our best bets and reasons why. And last week went 4-3. That was the first week giving out the best bets all on my lonesome. As I said last week, Alex no longer working with the pod. So I'm happy to kind of get out of my first week with at least a winning record, 4-3 on the NFL and making profit. You still got to be happy with. But I will say, backed four teams, three of them were underdogs. All four had double-digit leads. Unfortunately, Green Bay and Baltimore blew theirs. That's how it goes. So overall, 37-27 after week 11, which is 59%. Did lose a best bet yesterday on Thanksgiving. I had Dallas. Now, more on that in a minute. Before I get to the games for this week, the best bets I like, I want to talk about our NFL tips overall that have been highly scrutinized, particularly multis and even particularly more so the same game multis, because there has been a lot of negative feedback. And the thing is, I want to answer your feedback. I don't pretend like I know everything, and I never am the guy that says, look, these are my tips, they're gospel, I don't need to explain myself. I have a podcast so I can explain myself. You can hear it, you can decide if you agree or not. So the question keeps coming up, why do you keep taking halftime, full time in the same game multis? So the simple reasoning is, we do it if we see the odds get enhanced by more than we think they should. So obviously, if you think a team is going to win, you've got to ask yourself the question, what are the odds that they would also be leading at halftime? If you change your leg in the multi from a straight up win to a halftime full time, you have less chance of winning the multi because more things have to happen, right? But that's why you get better odds. So basically, statistically, if you look, I've got a link here, and this is data up until late 2018. So it's a couple of years old now, but it's looking at, you know, 30 plus seasons of NFL. The team that wins the game is leading anywhere from kind of 70 to 80% of the time. So even if we just conservatively say that if you win a game, obviously it's more likely you would have been up at halftime. Let's say that's going to happen at least 66% of the time. So two-thirds of the time, the team that won the game was winning. I think that's a very fair assumption. The odds of a 66% probability is $1.50. They shouldn't be higher than that, because I don't think anyone can argue it's less than 66%. So basically, if we can play halftime full-time and we can get it 1.5 times better price than just playing this straight up, it's better value. Now, I think the thing that people struggle with is you're putting in a condition that makes your bet less likely to win. And I keep hearing, why not make it safer? And certainly if you go back the last few weeks, we've had a couple where the legs all won. And if we just took the team to win, like, for example, the Patriots, and I think there was another one in there, it would have won just taking the team straight up, but they didn't lead at halftime. I think in at least one of those games, it was tied at halftime. Why not make it safer? Well, the thing is, we're not going out to build a same game multi to be safe. If you want a tip that's more safe, I just said our best bets are 59% for the season. If that's not safe enough, you know, you can always bet $1.30 favorites, or you can take underdogs with a huge alternate handicap. So the word safe to me just shouldn't be used alongside a double digit odds same game multi. Think about it like any multi. Every leg you add makes your multi less likely that you're going to win. So you never add a leg unless you specifically think the price that that leg adds to the multi is a value price. If we take halftime, full time, and I'm giving the example here, let's say you jump in, you've got the Patriots against Arizona, you like Arizona and overs. So you take Arizona to win straight up and you take overs, okay? And that price is $3.30 odd. All right, what if you change it and just make it Arizona halftime, full time, which means one more condition, Arizona has to be leading at halftime? Well, now that's paying $5.80. And that's 1.5 times higher. And I've just said there's no way they should magnify that price by more than 1.5. Now, in this game, also, there's no player props available yet. But when you add player props in too, it magnifies, you know, pronounces that edge even more so. So there was a lot of criticism yesterday, and I gave a multi halftime full time with Dallas. That multi didn't lose because I picked halftime full time. It lost because I picked Dallas. Dallas was a really bad pick. So I put my hand up for that and say, I got that game wrong. I felt confident, but, you know, I was wrong for sure. Now, I don't think I'm going to do the same game multis as regularly. One thing I just want you guys to appreciate is, like, I've gone from two people's production to one. So it's like literally with the amount of time I have. And I know a lot of people probably think, oh, creating a same game multi is a 5-minute job. Like, why wouldn't you? But we really do put in the effort. It's an extra task I've got to do. I'm tinkering with the calculator. I'm looking. At first, I've got to find a side I like. I look at all the player props. I compare all the markets to make sure any player I'm including, we're getting the best value or best yardage number that we can. And I always want to give out a high value price in same game multi. And look, the thing is as well, a lot of the like negativity, I don't mind like feedback and I don't mind being criticized, but it's like, I think that the narrative's just got out of control. Like, yes, they have done poorly for sure, but we're giving out between 1 and 3 every week, usually 2 to 3 each week, gave out 1 last week, right? Same game multi. So after 11 weeks, we've given out 27 of these in total. We've won over 20 units. We had a 16-1 winner. We've had a 5-1 winner. We've had, I think, 8 bonuses back. So you could be putting the bonus on the next multi. So my point is, that really isn't that bad. Some of them, you got to remember, have been like 70-1, 40-1. We've had ones that were extremely high probability, like the one that comes off the post for the Chargers that was paying over $14, or when the Vikings blew that lead against Seattle paying 14-1. So look, it's probably the most criticism I've ever seen us get in 6 years of tipping. And people, I think they're acting like we're giving a same game multi 16 games a week, and I'm broke off these tips. And it just worries me because everyone's building their frustration every single game if it doesn't win. And like, basically all these are double digit odds. You just can't bet double digit odds feeling like you need it to win. And I know that same game multis are extremely popular, so you guys like want them, but we only do them because you guys are always asking us, what's your same game multi? So we give you our best shot, and it has been our best shot, that's for sure. And if you go back to 2019, I think our NFL best bets did very modest, something like a 54% win rate, which is barely above break even. But our multis finished up over 100 units. Alex was creating the same game multis. Most of the multi profit was from the same game multis, and he absolutely killed it. This season, we've done a lot better with the round multis. I mean, in week one alone, we hit Unibet 18-1. We hit 365 28-1. I mean, we're giving them out once a week. You literally earn profit for the whole season after week one, no matter what happens with those. And then we've won a couple more times since then. We've hit 23-1 again. We had a 60-1, and I hate to, cry about spilt milk, but Texans were up 7 with 3 seconds left, and we had plus 3.5. And it was the only losing leg of 60-1. So look, I am defensive about it, but it's just, I have to say, I stand by every tip we've ever given out in the last 6 years. It is a hard sport to make money on. You shouldn't compare our results to a baseline that you think it's easy to win, and then anything but easy winning is a failure, because it's extremely hard. I'm yet to see anybody who wins easily at this sport and shares all their tips for free. But we do certainly give our best, and now I'm doing it on my own, and it's been a good year so far, despite like what people are making it out. I think if you look at all the results in totality, I would really be happy with those kind of results. I appreciate there's been better results earlier in the year, so it's been a bad run, but I can't control like kind of which weeks the long shots are going to get up. And if you don't think what we're doing is a good enough job, I guess there must be some better tipsters out there. And if there are, I love to hear about them. And I love to get information and learn so I can get better too. I have to address one of the comments that's been coming up is like, we have sign-up offers on our website for bookies. So anytime we lose, sometimes people will say, oh, you're deliberately losing, you're colluding with the bookies, you're giving out multis that you know will lose. And look, you might not believe this, or maybe I can't change your mind, but when we do give the tip, it's actually before the game and we don't know what's going to happen. And if I knew what was going to happen in games, I'd be doing this pod from the Bahamas if I was doing it at all. If you think we can win 58%, 59% on NFL best bets this year and be up over 50 units and multis across all the multis, but also throwing deliberate losses out there, you're giving us way too much credit. And now just me, like, I don't deserve that much credit. I never know how the game is going to go. I give out a tip based on me believing it's valuable. It's a value price over the long run. You can look back at the results and you can decide if those tips were value. Some win, some lose. It's about what price you get in the long run that was going to decide your profit. So look, if you have only played a selection of Tripod tips this season and you're not in profit, I am sorry about that. That's something I can't control. I can't control if people aren't getting on every multi and then miss like a big winning one. I also can't control the result. So I give you my best shot. I always give you a tip that I believe in the long run represents value. And I'm happy if you want to disagree with it too. Like if you agree, that's awesome. That might be where you jump on. If you disagree, I welcome any contrary opinions in the comments. Just remember one thing, like keep it respectful. I can take it a bit more than what I would like to see you guys commenting on other tipsters, because putting your opinion out there before the game, sharing a tip, it's not easy. Whereas jumping in the comments after the result and saying your opinion is quite easy. And no one ever seems to get their prediction wrong when they comment after the game. So you're going to look like a lot better if you disagree before the match. That's all. All right, guys. Sorry about a bit of the rant, but just wanted to kind of address all that feedback. And now let's jump into the best bets for week 12. See if I can find you guys some more winners, at least some good value picks here. So here are the games I like for NFL week 12. Now, I don't have a best bet on every single one of these games. That's just based on how the markets are moving in a couple of them. And I may wait to release a play or two tomorrow, but I'm going to give you my handicap in all my favorite games. Let's begin with the Panthers at the Vikings. The Vikings are a -3 point favorite. And look, that Vikings home upset loss to the Cowboys, which I did pick, has really hurt them. They were the hottest team in the NFL for the month leading up to that. And that loss drops their playoff odds from about 33% to 15%. So the way I see it is 15% is a 1 in 6, still a realistic chance of making the playoffs. That makes this game an absolute must win. Zimmer is really good at rallying the troops. Now, I have never been a big believer in the Panthers this year, and I've pretty much been wrong because they've certainly exceeded my expectations with their play. You look at last week, they won 20-0. They had a backup QB playing. They didn't win the turnover battle. And you know, you shut out an opponent. And speaking of their QB, Teddy is back. That's just been announced in the last day or something. And that's what's got the market moving. So I think it was 3.5 yesterday. Now it's more 3s. And I could find 3 today at $1.82. But I think it'll be 10 cents higher tomorrow. So stay tuned in the group and the app for a best bet on the Vikings. Next up, we've got the Browns at the Jags. The Jags are a touchdown underdog at home. And I do have a couple of best bets. I'm grabbing the Browns -6.5. It's $1.84 on Sportsbet Other because their regular line is 7. But go down to Other and get that half point off as well. And Browns halftime, full-time. Let's put it to the test here. It's $1.87 on Ladbrokes and Neds, and they settle their results on the full-time score. So if in a scenario where the Browns win in overtime, we could still win that. Other bookies, we wouldn't. And I think this is a good play because the Browns have come off a couple of close wins against decent teams that definitely keep their sights truly on the playoffs. They've got a really easy schedule to go home. So really, like, there's no excuse for Cleveland than to make the playoffs. But if you can't take care of business and go and beat Jacksonville, then what does an easy schedule really mean? I just feel like they're a game ahead of the Ravens and the Raiders, but both those teams have to have the tiebreaker over Cleveland. So it's just, you got to go in there and win. And the thing about the Browns as well, I feel they're a bully. When they get on top of a team, they can really extend the lead, especially now they've got two stud running backs both available. Just feed those guys and they can extend that lead in the second half. Next game I'm looking at, the Chargers are at the Bills, and the Bills are a -4 point favorite. Did you know only two teams in the NFL have not lost a game this year by more than 8? You can probably guess one of them's the Steelers. The other is the Chargers. So the Steelers are 10-0, haven't lost a game. The Chargers are 3-7, yet to be beaten by more than one possession. And, you know, that's coaching, it's bad luck. It's typical Chargers if you followed them for the last decade, really. But that could change this week. I think they could get blown out here. I like the Bills at home off a bye. 14 days to stew on that loss to that Hail Murray in Arizona. I kind of think they'll come out angry. They're still absolutely a playoff team. Melvin Ingram is out for the Chargers. I mean, I love Justin Herbert and that he's got such a bright future. And I didn't envision him being this good when he came in the NFL. But I mean, right now, this weekend, I still think Josh Allen is the better QB. He's more mature, more experienced. And the big edge I kind of alluded to is McDermott off a bye versus Anthony Lynn. So, again, I'm not pulling the trigger because I've seen this line decreasing and I want to lay the points with the favorite. And I think by tomorrow I might get a -3.5. So, once again, stay tuned. Then we have the Dolphins at the Jets. The Jets are a 6.5 point home underdog. They are awful. I'm not telling you anything you didn't know. Now, last week, obviously, they came off a bye and they're winless, which they still are. And there's a really strong trend to play them last week. And if you were brave enough to take the Jets plus 10.5 last week, well done. I was not brave enough, but they only lost by 6. But let me tell you, that's one of the most deceiving final scores you'll ever see. They were never even close. They're down 20+, and they get backdoor scores when the game, they never had a chance to win that game. And it makes me think back to a different game where they played the Bills, and they just covered that game as well, and they were absolutely, you know, dominated. The Bills had to settle for 8 field goals and still nearly covered the game without scoring a touchdown. So basically, the Jets are putrid. I'm happy to bet against them whenever I can. Flacco's terrible, and I don't know why they're not putting Darnold back. I think because they know Darnold will look really bad and they want to save his trade value, because the fact is they're probably drafting a QB first in the 2021 NFL draft. Miami, on the other hand, they're still in the playoff hunt, and they lost last week. I kind of like a well-coached, you know, strong unit off an upset loss, because I think you get full focus. And this line is coming down a tiny bit, and I think it's about the Tua injury or the question mark over whether he's going to go. But for me, they've got Fitzmagic, who's probably the best backup off the top of my mind, best backup in the league. I think those two are very comparable players. So I like this game on the Dolphins just as much if it's Fitzmagic. But as I say, with the line creeping down, I don't want to play it yet because it might be even better tomorrow. So again, hanging out, and we'll assess that tomorrow and hopefully find a best bet on Miami. And then the Chiefs are at the Bucks. The Bucks are plus 3 at home, and I've got a best bet. I'm going Bucks plus 3.5, $1.90 on Unibet. Now, I'm pretty certain this would be the first pod best bet of the season against the Chiefs, and we're in week 12. So I do not like betting against Kansas City. You have to be so brave. I mean, picked them for the Super Bowl last season. Picked them for the Super Bowl this season, $8.50 before the year, and they would still be my pick today. But I respect the Bucks. I know they came off a tough loss against the Rams, but those are both good teams, and it was a very close game. And I just think the spot just screams for Tampa Bay to put up one of their best performances of the year, because while they might not be able to catch New Orleans in that division, they're 2 games behind without the tiebreaker, they desperately want that 5th wildcard spot, or the top wildcard spot, 5th seed, because you get to go in and walk over the NFC East winner. And currently, the top of the NFC East division is the Washington football team. So that's really important. This team has extremely high aspirations. I feel like there's upside with Tampa Bay. Obviously, Brady coming into a new season, new system, COVID disruptions. He's got stud wide receivers, but they've been hampered or they've been out, but they're getting healthier. And Antonio Brown is getting acclimated to the offense as well. And I think the Bucs defense is one of the better units in the league, so they can limit Mahomes. Nobody can stop him, but maybe force a turnover and do something like what they did, well, when they really put up a massive kitchen sink performance when they hosted Green Bay a couple months ago. So I really don't think this line should be justifiably above 3. At 3.5, I like Tampa Bay. And that'll do it, guys. So again, I want to try and get the best of it, and I'm kind of explaining my thinking that we can get better prices or lines on some of these games tomorrow, and gives us more information with some of the players that are questionable with injuries as well. So stay tuned, because I'll put them out in the group and in the app and on the Tripod Facebook page, the social media as well, several places that you'll be able to find those tips. I'll probably look to get them out by tomorrow before midday. So best of luck, guys. As always, gamble responsibly. And tune in to Wide World of Punting, episode 6, Wednesday, 7 p.m., daylight savings time. Cheers.